Welcome once again to the Frank Andy Podcast, and it's time for some podcasts. And Susie's doing dance moves, but you can't even see them. Hi, guys. But she's doing them perfectly to the music, so just imagine what dance moves you'd be doing to that song, and it's like you were there. Hi, friends.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Susan here.
And Sarah over here, and we got a fun one for you today. I'm so excited. Well, first of all, I'm excited that Susie wore me down. I don't even know why am I so resistant to things that you...
You're busy.
That's tell why. Me, because I said the same thing about This Is Us. Mm. I was way behind starting that, yeah. And then I did, and I was like, I can't believe I didn't do this sooner. And the same thing is how I feel about what we're going to talk about today. S-Town.
Yeah, man.
The best, second best podcast ever.
Oh my God, they're so much better than us, please.
Oh my gosh. Is that not... That's how a podcast should be done, man.
Yeah, it's really special.
That is perfect. I loved it.
If you haven't listened to S-Town, which I imagine most of our listeners have at least heard of it, but you should check it out. The storytelling is superb. The pace, the style, it was just like, people keep calling it novel-esque. It was like a novel.
I was going to say that. And yeah. I think it's exactly, it scratched all the itches that a good, mystery book would scratch, you know?
Yeah.
That makes you think halfway through it, like, oh, I think I know. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. The premise of it is that if, you know, you haven't started it, is that this American Life is a show that runs, and they had a hit called Serial, which is a podcast that everyone loved. And John McLemore wrote an email to Brian Reed, who is now the host of S-Town. And I believe the subject of the email was, John McLemore lives in Shittown, Alabama.
Yeah.
And that was sort of the introduction to what became this incredible story that includes a mystery. Mm-hmm. It begins with a mystery. It deals with grief and race and suicide and mental illness and
social economic status and class.
Uh-huh. The
and
South,
power and
small town life in America.
Uh-huh. Politics,
racism, sexism,
police.
Oh my
stuff.
Gosh, police stuff, corruption.
Corruption.
Then it deals with the weird family stuff with death, money.
Uh-huh.
Huge. Money was a huge part of the story.
Yes.
And what people will do to get that money and...
Who's entitled to what?
My God! What didn't they explore?
I know. God, it was so good.
And to have so many moving parts and to have so many interweaving threads and to tell the story so elegantly, I was like... blown away.
Isn't it interesting you chose the phrase so many moving parts and the clocks were a big part of it.
The clocks!
Hello!
Oh, it gave me chills. I love that part.
And now I feel like I gotta get into clocks.
Sarah, you do. Do you remember when we were in Thailand on the ruins and I asked Kenny to make me a tattoo that I wanted to be like a combination of a compass?
And yes.
Yeah, and a
I
clock.
I do remember that.
Because I find those pieces of, you know,
oh my God,
life to be so interesting.
So did your head just explode when that little
the gift he gave
to his professor that he told, okay, so his one of his college professors,
oh, yeah,
he said, for your birthday I'm going to make you a gift.
What are those things called?
A sundial.
Yeah, sundial.
And he gave him this gift like 30 years later,
yeah,
on his birthday when it was finally complete.
Right.
And a sundial with a mini teeny tiny baby compass and a level that came with it, because you'd had to put the sundial so it was perfectly level and pointing at the right direction, and the sundial would only work in the guy's own house. I mean, we're dealing with a genius here.
Right. So the sort of star of the S-Town podcast is John McLemore, and... he is a genius.
Genius. Could you imagine if you are a genius and you're this,
and you live
this
in
story, this story, I'm sure has been told and retold, not this one, but stories with this as the premise, like fish out of water thing, or like, it's essentially what Goodwill Hunting, you know, like the genius who's stuck in the small town or stuck in like a place like that. Like, could you imagine him as a child? Like, he must have been hard.
Yeah, so this is a guy who, in the very early part of the story, John is lamenting, and he repeats himself all the time. He wishes he didn't live there. Why didn't he leave? Why do I live in Shit Town? This place is a shithole, mm-hmm. you know, blah, blah, blah. We find out eventually he hardly even left a few mile radius. Mm-hmm. I asked our followers on Twitter, what do you like or not like about S-Town? And a lot of people said that the show, the podcast didn't give them closure, which somebody said.
What?
But they actually liked it. They didn't make it a neat little package where, like, you know what happens to Troy.
Because guess what? Life doesn't come in a neat little package where all the loose ends are tied up.
Right. I agree with that person that wrote. They did that. They didn't give closure, but it was good.
Yeah.
It was real.
I am curious as to... Okay.
Okay.
So...
We really should get more organized, but go ahead.
John asks... inquires, or not even inquires, but just sends this email out, like, my town is the worst town. Here's why.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And what he had used to try to gain the attention of the journalist, Kevin?
Brian.
Mm-hmm. I always get his name wrong. Brian. Was a story about a murder that was covered up by the police, that was like the, you know, wealthy people in town had his family member commit the murder, and it was just covered up, and there's a whole bunch of corruption. And then he said, like, we have the most sex offenders anywhere in the country. And he's just trying to get the attention of this news guy via this story about why the town is so bad. And I just love how there was more story about John than there ever was about the town.
Right. And that what oftentimes I think this is a lesson for me and most listeners, I think, is that a lot of times what you think is the story isn't the story.
Right.
And that what sort of is flashy and like, hey, look over here, look at me, this is a thing, is the distraction from, oh, this quiet little thing that's happening over here that's, you know. The flashy thing isn't always what you should focus on, and that you might be missing this more important, subtler, nuanced, complicated thing over here.
Mm-hmm.
And complicated things are hard to cover in the news, and so they often get ignored over the sort of like, Brad and Angelina are getting a divorce.
You're totally right.
So to me, that was an important lesson from the season. What did you think? By the way, while you're thinking about that, I want to say that we're enjoying right now this delicious, it is actually a Passarola Vinho Blanco from Portugal.
I'd just like to share with all of you that Susie's showing me like she's a like Vanna White of wine right now. She like did the hands.
Take my picture.
I think maybe she forgot we're on the radio. She's like showing me like this right here is, I'm like, yeah, I know, Sus.
Take my picture.
Okay.
And it is from wink.com.
Oh, lovely. With,
you should try. Wink.com is personalized wine that you can have sent to your door.
Love it.
And for our listeners, you get $22 off your first order. So you get four bottles for $30, which is an awesome deal.
Oh my gosh.
And
can't
free shipping. And if you go to, Sarah's taking my picture now too. If you go to wink.com/braincandy, you can get that deal, $22 off your first order. And this wine is actually really refreshing and delicious. Are you enjoying it?
I love it. Yeah. Well, and I really love the label.
I know. I noticed that. That's why I was holding it up, you bitch. Let me just say, by the way, that Wink is spelled W-I-N-C.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah, I never thought to tell people that.
That's an important one.
But it's winc.com/braincandy for that deal.
And brain candy is spelled regular. Just in case.
Use your brain to get that deal. Okay, but so what were you going to say? I said, what did you think about this season?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
Yes.
How do I even want to start this?
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
So this taught me or really drove home a lot of lessons or things that I hear and pick up when reading textbooks in the field that I'm in. You know, things that you hear when you have a new client, you're supposed to assess for a whole bunch of different things. You ask them questions. You know, often the story that somebody presents in therapy, just as you're saying, is not the real story that really matters.
Yes.
Exactly like you said. So I saw this as being a real life, like, exaggerated version of what would happen in a therapy office. And if you ask the right questions, you could get to the answer. But if you don't ask the wrong questions, people can get very hurt, and there can, which happened in this story.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the right questions were asked or if the right interventions happened earlier, then maybe the outcome of the story would be different.
So I want to warn you, because I'm going to do a few spoilers.
Yeah, you have to.
Just because we're talking about S-Town. What do you
Come
want
on,
me to do?
Come on, you have to talk about it.
And if you don't want them, you can always listen to this later after you've listen to S-Town, and really, you should.
So turn off this for a second. 7 hours, really. And yeah, listen to S-Town, and then when you're done, come back.
Yeah,
and then we
so,
can chat more.
We learn about maybe halfway through that John has sugar in his tank.
Yeah, I love when they say, first of all, how long into the story before you were like, oh, I think
pretty
maybe
early
he's gay.
On, I yeah. learned that, or I thought, oh, he sounds like he's gay. I mean, he was single, and they sort of alluded to the fact he'd never married, mm-hmm. and he lived alone, and it was sort of.
I thought the amount of time he spent with younger men who were very companion-y to me was. I was like,
I felt bad about that.
Me like, too.
Because he clearly loves them.
Yes. And I just thought, how sad for somebody to have to hide who they are for so long. And of course that would have negative consequences. Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in a town where that is not okay.
You know, this might be inappropriate, but do you think that he has a touch of like some Asperger's or
Well, that's what something? I couldn't separate from what we find out is the real problem in the end.
Okay, right. So we have to talk about that.
You have to.
Because to me, that was the second most shocking moment of the whole show.
Now, to me, that gave me all the closure I needed. Where other people are like, I felt like I didn't have closure. I was, that...
Well, for his character, yes, but they felt like with Troy...
Oh, the whole story and everything
yeah,
that
like
happened.
Yeah, like what happened to the guy that... What, yeah. Did he go to jail? Did whatever.
Right.
That whole thing.
Oh, yes, I forgot.
Yeah, so you kind of like don't know what happened afterwards, but... John was a clockmaker and a repairman, and he was also, like, just a... He was a mad scientist.
Totally.
And so it became clear upon his unfortunate and self-inflicted death that he might have been a sufferer of mercury poisoning.
Yes. He was using a type of gold... enameling that, or electroplating, that it was a chemical process. It was called like flash plating, I think, mm-hmm. and where you use fire to essentially like burn mercury to really make the gold stick. And it has a beautiful effect, but it's so dangerous that John was the only person in all of the United States that was ever that even did it. Like somebody in England wanted this process done on one of the parts of their clocks, and they said they searched the entire world, and the only person they found to do this was John, and he was doing it. They later found out in his own garage, where these toxic fumes are present, and
well, and he demonstrated all the symptoms of what. So they describe in the show that the phrase "mad as a hatter" comes from this process, and that these people that used to do it demonstrated these what we would call insane behaviors, mm-hmm. and they got this reputation as being crazy. Now, one of the symptoms that John demonstrated very early on in S-Town was hopelessness and despair.
Oh, God.
And an inability to feel pleasure.
Anhedonia.
He was like Eeyore. Like, no matter what you said, oh, it's sunny today. Well, we're getting too much global warming or whatever. It was always like gloom and doom. Mm-hmm. And that's actually one of the symptoms of it. Now, there's no way to know for sure whether that's in fact the case. But, I mean, it's
clear. They did test his studio, like his office or you know, the garage or whatever you want to call it, for mercury levels. And they did say that they were such high mercury levels that anybody who has done any work in a place that has that high of mercury, I think one of the last things that they say in the whole show was, a doctor who was familiar with mercury poisoning said an autopsy would have to prove he didn't die of mercury poisoning, because that's the most obvious.
Well, but Brian Reed, the host, said...
Or not die of, but that he wasn't suffering from mercury.
Yeah.
Because he obviously committed
suicide. Brian Reed said that John demonstrated severe depressive symptoms before he began using this flash plating thing. So I think it only worsened what he already
absolutely
was living with.
That's how it works, is it just kind of makes it work, and it almost acts as like a catalyst for...
Yeah.
So just to some fast facts on mercury toxicity, because it's not just...
Facts.
Right? It's not just mercury. It's like metal toxins. So metal toxins, insomnia, here are the effects. Insomnia, dizziness, anxiety, loss of self-confidence, irritability, depression, tremors, lack of coordination, which he did have, skin inflammation, emotional stress, muscle weakness, headaches, hallucinations. I mean...
Paranoia.
That's exactly...
I mean, that's what he...
That's it.
...wrote about, that he believed that there was a big conspiracy at the police. He was afraid of the police. He didn't trust anybody.
Ugh.
So that was the sad state was that this man couldn't be helped, really.
No.
And is that the case, that once you're suffering with this, it's irreversible?
Oh, that's a really good question.
I mean, he wouldn't have taken anything anyway, because
I don't
he refused.
Think you can do things to... Like, they call it, like, chelation or something, where they remove the metals, like, the toxic metals from your body.
But remember, like, his friend from England encouraged him to try, like, even, like, homeopathic remedies.
Right, that's right.
Because he was into gardening, and he was like, here's this book, and it's going to sit here forever.
Well, can you imagine if one of the symptoms of what you're suffering from prevent you from actually finding a cure for what you're suffering from?
Mm.
Like,
well, that's very common.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And that's like why this felt so important to me is because, you know, when we're talking in class about assessing clients and assessing patients, you always have to ask about questions like, you know, could there be any, maybe not in this way, but could this be an exposure to some sort of toxin? And the first thing you do is you rule out, does this have anything to do with drugs, or does this have anything to do with toxins? Because toxins affect your mental state so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have a child that's suffering from depression, and you didn't know that he was a child who has pica and was chewing on the walls when he was a toddler. And now he has lead poisoning from the paint because he, you know, or I was just having dinner with a woman the other night who said she never smoked, never was super healthy, and she got lung cancer. And the doctor said that it could be because she remembers a time where she was scraping a ceiling, and the asbestos from the ceiling could have been the reason why now she has lung cancer. Mm. And, like, you gotta ask the right questions to really find out what it is you're dealing with, because he could have been misdiagnosed. It probably, he's the kind of person with mercury poisoning. You know how you see in some of those antidepressant ads, like, that it could cause suicidal thoughts, or you think, when people who do not have what is, when it's like misdiagnosed and those people take that medication, that's when you run the risk of, you know, suicide.
Yeah.
Or you have somebody who's really depressed, and then you get, and like studies show that when, oh, this is so sad, but depressed people don't commit suicide when they're at their lowest. They tend to commit suicide when they're on an upswing because their energy is just enough. But that little bit of energy matched with the depression is when bad things, they make decisions that you can't take back.
Right. I am fascinated.
Oh, he drank so. Oh!
Yeah.
He drank cyanide.
That was when I gasped.
Suze, how about the woman who had to be on the phone with him? She needs help.
What would you do? What if I called you?
Suze, I would...
No, I'm just saying.
Like, I know.
Suze, are you going to cry again?
No, I'm just like,
okay, like,
not
make
to
it not it. To be me. Someone you're just acquainted with.
Got it.
And they called and they said, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to do this. And I think it's so weird that he called her.
And she must... They've got to have the recording of that, right?
No, because, I mean, they don't record courthouse calls.
Oh, was it a courthouse call? He didn't call 911.
No.
It was just,
she just worked at
right,
the courthouse.
Right, because he was like, you need to take care of this for me. Do you think she took the money? What happened to the money?
Wow. I love the music. You mean the gold bars?
Uh-huh. Do you think they were? I think there were. I think she took them.
From the freezer?
Mm-hmm. It's
the
really,
lady?
It's real, well, it's real suspicious to me that he told her about some other things. She even said that. And she had to go to the house first. She arrived at the house before the police did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she probably did.
Yeah, right? I mean,
somebody did.
And you know what? Take it, lady. What else? It's probably going to be so messy if they were to actually find it anyway about, like, who gets the whatever and...
Yeah. That was something I thought a lot about, was the way that people are when someone dies,
uh-huh,
and about money.
I hate it.
It's pretty, pretty gross.
I hate that my grandma's will came so quickly to me after she died in the mail. It was like within a week, and I hated that.
Sarah made me read it.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to.
I was like, all right, here's what you're getting.
I don't want to see.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
But I thought that, to me, there are some really cool things that happen in pop culture where you feel like, I don't know, like it was divinely inspired, if you believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
And this show feels like that, where it's just the right thing at the right time. You know, this hillbilly cult, there's this big trend of like the white trash, but it's called White Trash Book. There's a hillbilly elegy.
The White Trash
it's called,
Book?
It's just called White Trash.
Okay.
And it's by Nancy Ehrenreich, I think. And she's a scholar, and it was a bestseller this past year.
The 400-year untold history of class in America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was the Hillbilly Elegy. And there's this sort of, I think because Trump's ascent and then victory has really solidified it, made this more timely.
Wow.
And you saw an article that said that people feel that S-Town and all these like think pieces about like who voted for Trump, they're not racist, they're just scared about job security. People really get worked up about that because it almost glorifies this sort of like folksy book, 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 but they're freaking racists.
Yes.
And so how do you balance the fact that they're not all bad? They're just people with flaws, and one of them is that they're terribly ignorant about a lot of things and racist. Like John, he's a homosexual who uses the N-word.
And the F-word.
And the F-word!
Not the fuck one that I like to say. The other one
the
that
slur.
I don't like to say.
Yes. So it's complicated.
It's...
Some people think those stories shouldn't be told, that those stories play to sort of like the lowest common denominator, and that they almost like glamorize these people who shouldn't be glamorized.
I disagree. I think it... that's so strange to me.
Really?
What's glamorous
Like, what
about
if
that?
He was a wife beater? What if John had a wife and he beat the shit out of her all the time?
Oh, I see what you're saying. So we're glorifying a story of a person who's like,
and other people
moral
in the story.
Compass doesn't point.
We're kind of giving a pass to the racism because they have all these interesting other aspects, and we're.
But I don't know if we're given a pass because in my head, I'm still seeing the story that's still part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking at the story without racism being an element of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that to me is still in there.
Right.
Well, they're not like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I feel that it's complicated, but that for me at least, as a listener, it's your job to be discerning about what we think about these people. If you start writing them fan letters and worshiping them, that's bad.
Yes.
But if you learn from them and see the flaws and how people have complicated lives and how ignorance is bad and education is good, and look at how these people live and the consequences of their horrible decisions.
Yeah.
All of them. Everyone in the story.
Uh-huh.
And the price that they're paying and how it could be avoided. It doesn't feel like glamorization to me.
Me neither. And to me it feels like we're shining light on... Is it shining light or shedding light? Can you choose either?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was always wondering that.
But that's a good question. I love word questions.
Me
like
too.
That. Why are we saying shedding light?
And I always got to ask, and like I look it up or something because
right.
I like have to know. The other day, I asked my husband what a word meant, and then I was like, "Oh, okay, I'll just look it up." And he looked at me like I was like nuts. I'm like, "Yeah, that's like what you do, right?" I wasn't just gonna like skip over it in the book and just like be like, "Okay, I know what that one means." No.
Right.
Okay, so back to shining or shedding a light on this. So I think it's showing me, you know, there was so much talk during the election about how these East Coast and West Coast liberals don't see any of the true America, and we don't really know what's going on, and we live in Hollywood, and blah, blah,
blah.
We're
the coastal elites.
Elite.
Yeah.
To me... This is a story about the people who are those other.
Sure are.
The ones who are not what you would say, you know, these are the people who I'm sure voted for Trump, who, I mean, it's pretty safe to assume, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to go around making assumptions, but...
I mean...
So
if they didn't,
probably didn't vote. It was either a no vote or a Trump vote.
Yeah, they might not be registered.
Nobody's casting any ballots for old Hill out there. So I think
someone should just do a podcast where they return to these same characters and be like, "Hey, what do you think of Hillary?"
That's it.
That would be a show.
Lock her up. That's what they'd say.
But her emails.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So I just think it. To me, the same way. Remember the documentary, the Wild. No, yeah. Wicked Whites,
no.
Whites of West Virginia. What the hell is that called? Wicked Wild West Virginia Whites?
I'm going to let you keep doing it. It's the Wild and Wonderful, wonderful Whites of West Virginia.
Okay.
Because West Virginia's slogan is West Virginia Wild and Wonderful. That's their slogan.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That makes sense.
That's why it's called that.
You know, but I saw a whole side of America that I had never, or people that I had never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And same when I hear this story and I just, the way people talk, and I'm just like, oh my gosh.
I mean, I am from Pittsburgh and obviously I'm above the Mason-Dixon line, but there's Pittsburgh and there's Philadelphia and then they say everything in the middle is Arkansas. I mean, these people aren't just
through.
In the South. They're in a lot of rural areas all over, not just the South, but all over America.
Didn't they say some point in the podcast that the town had 60-something churches, but
like
no...
nine schools.
Yeah. No schools and tons of churches.
No, they had nine.
Okay, nine. Might as well be none. What are they teaching
but
in
the schools? The point was that there were the people that when Obama said years ago and got so much trouble for it, he said there are people that cling to their God and their guns. And that's not a criticism. It's just sort of the way that it is.
It's what they do.
The genius to me, aside from John McLemore, who is clearly a genius, is in the astute and thoughtful storytelling of Brian Reed.
It was perfect.
It was perfect.
The way it was rolled out, the order... Because with any story, you can introduce characters in any order you want. There was no reason that he had us meet. Well, I mean, there is reason. But he could have had us meet the woman who really loves the town. Remember her in the very end? She was a friend of John's back in the day, and he used to be part of their family.
Yeah,
and
she was like, we have church
the names
meetings.
On the
I don't know.
Door and like with the heights of the kids and everything. Real sweet.
She's like, we go to these the cookouts and so-and-so brings their strawberry souffle.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
But that pair, when he introduced her, was right before you really found out what happened, that it was all just Mad Hatter's disease.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God, maybe this isn't the shittiest town. Maybe it...
Well, it's both.
It is both.
And it depends on who you are. And Mayberry... is great if you're white, straight, Christian, rich, whatever. It's real nice.
I was going to say he was almost all those things. But he was not straight.
He was not straight. And that's a big but.
Mm-hmm.
He was not straight. In the South?
Oh my God.
And he was strange. He was an eccentric because he was so smart.
I do think that he would be on the spectrum. You know why? Because, I mean, for like a million reasons, but when his professor said that he wasn't very good at school, but that he did, when he found something he was interested, he
textbook.
Threw himself in,
textbook.
Expert in, that is a pretty good indicator.
Yeah.
There aren't very many people that I've encountered that have those passions, like, and have that fixation that have all other, that are socially high functioning.
Yeah, no problem.
They just don't go hand in hand.
You know what's really high functioning?
What?
BioClarity.
Yeah, it is.
That was my worst segue yet.
I love it, Suze.
I love it too.
Look at my skin.
It's beautiful. In all your pictures on Instagram, I'm
like,
I don't
even wear makeup anymore.
I hope you tag them every time because they need to know what they're doing for you.
I just don't wear makeup. I mean, like foundation.
Because that kind of makes me sick, but I'm really happy for you.
And I'm really noticing that if my skin is good, I don't feel like I have to wear as much makeup. And when I don't wear as much makeup, my skin looks better. Yeah. And then this morning, I just did my whole Floralux boom, boom, boom treatment. Oh, I just feel good with that chlorophyll.
Sarah's stealing my thunder.
Sorry. You always get to talk about how it's good. I want to talk a little bit.
We really do love BioClarity, and I love seeing when you guys get your BioClarity deliveries and when you tweet to us saying that you're like, oh, fine, I'll try it, because we've been talking about it so much. If you are a person who has acne or just really want some natural face wash without harsh chemicals, then BioClarity is perfect for you. Go to BioClarity.com. And you will get your first month for only $9.95 plus free shipping, which is a $20 savings, and it comes with a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee. Just enter our code BRAINCANDY, and you will, and your skin will be very happy.
Yeah.
Vegan, gluten-free, paraben-free.
Yeah, I've been really getting into cutting out all of those. I mean, who isn't? Cutting out all the chemicals and anything in my
skincare. Oh, I should give you this book.
I mean, the skin. Why on earth, if I don't want to put chemicals on my lawn?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't want to rub them on my face.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've got to stick with the products that are...
Well, in most cases, I find, like with makeup and stuff, the really clean products are so expensive, and I don't like the whole, like, you have to be rich to avoid toxins. But in this case, with BioClarity, it's affordable and so worth giving it a try. BioClarity.com. Okay, I had a list of things. What do you think about, which was so interesting, the tattoo element of John? And at first it was like, he's getting these tattoos to help his friend out who's a tattoo artist, and he's just doing it to like fund their business so they can stay afloat, and that it was this act of generosity. Mm-hmm. And then as town continued, it was like, turns out he kind of got off on it, and it was almost like an act of cutting or self-mutilation as a release. And that there was more to his urge. Mm-hmm. What did you think about that? Because you're a tattoo gal.
I think for him it's, I can definitely see that. I think he just really longed to feel something different. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. I don't even know why I didn't think of it. So, he suffered from anhedonia. Anhedonia is that feeling of total despair and you don't get pleasure from anything, like you were saying. That's the technical term for that, is nothing brings you pleasure. And often, people who experience anhedonia will go to extreme lengths to try to do something that makes them feel anything, whether it's negative or positive feeling. You just want to feel something.
Yes.
So I can see that as being...
I didn't think of that.
I have to feel.
That's interesting.
I can almost say that with certainty.
I can't relate to that, but it's a very common thing.
Or have you ever experienced like a feeling? To me, the first time I felt it was when my grandmother passed away, and I felt extreme grief. And I just said, it was the first time I ever was like, I gotta give me like a glass of wine. Give me like where I was like, I gotta do something. Anything to change this.
But this sounds like the opposite of that, where you're trying to numb it because you feel so much.
Well, think about it. Yes, it's like trying to numb it because you want to feel something different. Imagine if you had no feeling. You would go to extreme lengths you would do things that were like risky behaviors. Like, and bizarre things that he does or did really point to this whole trying to fix the anhedonia.
I depression. I have to tell you something hilarious.
Yeah, please.
What? I text my friend Kelly. You know? I said, did you listen to S-Town? And she goes, I don't even know what that is. A 90s band? S-Town.
No, she's thinking like it's O-Town. Oh, no, these guys will not star in any of your liquid dreams.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but great. You're so right about that. Mm-hmm. And we, in the newsletter, if you want to sign up for our newsletter, go to thebraincandypodcast.com and enter your email. We'll send out in our show notes the picture of his back.
Oh, because
it's actually hard to look at.
No, they don't describe it. They didn't. I had no idea that it was.
Well, so Brian Reed is such a calming voice and mm-hmm. calming presence that mm-hmm. I think that's one criticism that I have. It's almost like I should be happy because he, I can't do it. I'm sorry. I get interrupted. He does the opposite of what I hate about reality shows, where it's like heightened,
he downplays scandalous, things that are really...
everything's a big deal, and like, let's find the big, salacious, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. He's like, and his back has markings, you know.
I didn't even pick up that it was as big of a thing as it was.
Right, and so then when you see the picture, it's like hard to even believe it.
And there were a lot of times where I felt like there were big moments that happened that I guess that's just the nature of how the guy talks, how this guy Brian talks.
Oh, he's so soothing?
Yeah. Because when he said the line when he was like, we didn't find out that that person was murdered, but by the end of this episode, someone will be dead.
Right. And at that time, I was like, what? What's this?
Me too. I was like, oh, this is going to be stupid.
Yeah. And then it turned out to be bigger than I thought, you know?
Whoa. To me, I felt like with every episode I listened to, something happened and I was like, what? And they were just shockers. And then when the episode happened where he drank cyanide, I was like, what, where's the rest of the show? What do you mean? What do you mean he's gone? Like,
yeah.
What on earth can you talk about now? And then there was always more. I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. I couldn't focus. There was one night where I only had the last episode to go. And I listened to episode number 6 on my way to class. Then I had to sit through all of my 3-hour class. I was like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Assessment, blah, 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 blah. I gotta go listen to S-Town. Can we get this shit over with? I was like, and I told one of the girls, I was like, I'm just dying to get out of here because I gotta go listen to the last episode of S-Town. And one of the girls in my class had been listening to it too. She's like, oh, you're gonna die. I can't wait to tell you.
I feel like, what do you think explains that? What is that that you felt inside?
What, the desire to want to listen to more? Like,
what is it about it that was so...
Ooh, riveting.
And, you know, we love true crime. Oh, we watch a lot of documentaries, but there was something very special.
It was... I liked the pace.
Yeah.
I liked that it was fast-paced. I really like something that's one... The same reason I like Big Little Lies. Because mm-hmm. it's 6 episodes. You're going to find out the whole story. None of this, like, 5 seasons of... you know... I want the goods now. Okay. And so it just, and I don't, what was it? Well, it was so, there were little things, those, like, you know, as the Derek Thompson and Hitmakers would say, they were like those, what do you call, aesthetic ahas, like those moments where the same feeling that you get when you, I don't know, figure out a answer to a crossword puzzle question, you know? To me, I was able to draw connections from things that happened at the beginning and things that happened in the end. And when I would make those connections, my brain just, it's like a brain orgasm the whole time. I'm like, oh, I know why they said that. Oh, I know why he said it like that. And I loved doing that.
Right.
It makes me feel like I'm in on the joke. Like right. I'm in, I know, I get it. You know,
yeah.
I can put the clues together. Like Sixth Sense. You know when you finish Sixth Sense and you're like, Oh my God. Because you've been logging like those little things, whether you know about it or not, your subconscious is like remembering all the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're able to just see the whole puzzle afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. It's so good. I loved it. I loved it.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Perfect.
I mean, now there's all these think pieces about, like, is the art of S-Town worth the, you know, the cost, you know, or are they exploiting these people or, you know, whatever.
Do you think they were exploiting him, though?
Hell no.
I don't think so either.
I was on a reality show. You think they're being exploited? I mean, maybe it is what we say about the reality thing, though. They don't know what they're getting into. They don't realize that now people are going to be, like, driving into S-Town.
Oh, my God. You're totally right. I didn't even think about that. What are those called? Unintended consequences? That's exactly what a lot of this is. Oh, my gosh.
That's exactly what that is. That's the sound of wind hitting my glass.
You never know. You know, and I feel like with all these reality shows, podcasts, anything like that, we're essentially putting people in human experiments, in social experiments, because you don't know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, so I do think it's fair to ask, you know, is this ethical?
You should. And you should follow the same rules of an experiment. So I think there are people who should look at, okay, can we kind of try to anticipate what some of the, you know, consequences may be from this.
One thing I will say before we have to go is that I read a quick little thing about how someone was asking Brian Reed, why do you think like the BBC has podcasts, but they're just not like NPRs? They're not like This American Life and Serial and S-Town. And someone was saying, why? What is it about the American podcast style that brings this incredible storytelling? And he said that what's really cool about This American Life is that they build into their budget the money to kill a story. So they kill about 50%.
That's great. They don't put it...
Yeah, if it turns out this is not something worth exploring...
That's great.
They say, that's a loss. We take the loss and we move on. The BBC's like, we are going to drag this piece of shit over the finish line just because we greenlit it. And I think that's something I hadn't thought about.
You're totally right.
Where it's like, you have to have the courage as an editor and also as a host to be like, you know what? This is garbage. In fact, we have an episode like that that we recorded and it never got put out. Maybe we'll do like a lost episode sometime.
Yeah.
Where I was like, Sarah, it's not good enough. Yeah. Not that we're creating goddamn Picasso fine art here.
But you know, we got to give you guys a certain amount of like.
Yeah, there's a point at which you think that wasn't enough.
Right.
And I thought that was very interesting that This American Life says.
This American Life is so good.
Do you love it?
I love it.
What do you like about it?
Well, I mean, my favorite episode ever is the one they did on summer camp. Why is that funny? So good. You guys should all listen to
God.
It. Yeah.
If you had said, let's play a game called fill in the blank, and like you said, my favorite episode that they did is on. And then I had to fill in the blank. I could have done it. I've never even heard that episode.
You could have. Yeah, you would have gotten that right.
Just it's about summer camp in America.
Mm-hmm.
And you just couldn't get it.
I could cry my eyes out. And then sent it to all my camp friends. So good. They're great.
We'll put that in the newsletter.
Oh, we should.
Oh, for God's sake. Remember how you said that? You can tell if it's a good episode if I say, oh, for Pete's sake.
And I almost got you to say it. Right. It was close enough.
It like went further.
Yeah.
It was God's sake. Oh, for God's not sake. Not just Pete.
All Every right, time people. I listen to it and you say that, I'm like, woo, win
we
it.
We did it. All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed this. And if you haven't listened to S-Town yet, we probably ruined it for you. But you should still listen because It's fantastic.
And we know that even if you know the answer, if you have the spoilers, it's still just as good.
Yeah, it's still pleasurable. So check it out, and we'll see you next week for more Brain Candy. Bye.
Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.